This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, it's been a spectacular Premier League weekend and it will, I think, affect things at the end of the season, at least in relation to Arsenal and Manchester City. But the really outstanding achievement of the weekend was Harry Kane breaking the goal-scoring record at Tottenham. He scored one more goal now than the great Jimmy Greaves, who John, of course, played against. I played against Jimmy Greaves myself, but Jimmy Greaves was a great, great player. And Harry Kane has had a tough career in many respects, and what he has achieved in a Spurs team that never really has won anything is remarkable. But we're joined now by Liam Brady and John Giles to discuss all of the weekend's Premier League games. Liam, I'll start with you and Harry Kane. Jimmy Greaves' record was 266. For Spurs. Harry made it 267 yesterday. He was out on loan, Liam, as a young player at Leighton Orient, Millwall, Norwich and Leicester. So that tells you, and he scored a few goals there, but not all that many. And from all of that, he's now gone on to, I think, be one of the great English players. What's your take on Harry and the fact that he's broken this record in the team that haven't exactly been scooping up trophies?
Well, first of all, I'd say, I mean, great English goal scorers, yeah. Great, yes. English players. Well, not for me, you know.
Right.
I don't think he's in the class of some of the players that we've seen score goals and play for England. For example, Jimmy Greaves. So
yes.
Jimmy was a boy wonder at Chelsea, you know.
He was, yeah.
He started off and he scored loads of goals for Chelsea as well. So it's... Harry Kane's beaten Jimmy's career record at Spurs, but not overall. You know, Jimmy scored, yes, goals, lots of goals for Chelsea. He scored a few for West Ham at the end of his career. And of course, he scored 12 league goals at AC Milan in about 15 games because Jimmy was a bit special. But Harry Kane's achievement, is remarkable because, as you say, I mean, he wasn't a boy wonder by far from it. He was a late developer who kept working at his game. He kept trying to develop his skills. And he's a great, how can I say, a great example of somebody who's worked very, very hard, yes, at the game to take him to the very top. I hold my hands up, yeah. Great goal scorer, but world-class player, no.
Right. And that's a very good assessment. John, your assessment of him, because I remember a long time ago now when we first saw him play at Spurs, I remember you were always very, very keen on him, even before he became an international and a kind of household name. But I think Liam's assessment is probably fair enough. But from unpromising beginnings, I mean, going to Leighton Orient, he scored 5 goals there in 18 matches. He went to Millwall, then he went to Norwich. No goals on his loan spell. Then he went to Leicester. So, as Liam has confirmed, he did it the hard way.
Well, he certainly did, Eamon. And, you know, go back to Jimmy Greaves. Jimmy was a one-off among all these great players, in my opinion.
Yes.
He scored more than 100 goals for Chelsea before he went to Spurs.
Yes.
You know, so with all these great players, Eamon, they're all different. And Jimmy was probably the best goal scorer I've ever seen.
Yes.
He was a goal scorer. But I think Harry Kane has become a great player.
Yes.
In his own right. Not yes. Jimmy Greaves. There's very, very few like Jimmy Greaves. But Harry Kane actually makes a lot of goals.
Yes, yes.
You know, he comes to him, he makes goals, he scores goals. And I think he has reached world class.
Yes.
And he's not playing in a great team, don't forget. I mean, he's not playing with Manchester United at the best, or Manchester City at the best, or Liverpool at the best. It's like he's doing it at Spurs. So, that's my take on him. But Jimmy Greaves, I don't think there's anybody like Jimmy Greaves in my time that I can remember in what he did and the goals he scored. So, you know, I think Harry Kane has done it in his own particular way.
Yes, and I think, to be fair to the distinction Liam makes, he's right to make the distinction between, you know, Jimmy Greaves' career elsewhere and the goals he scored elsewhere. Harry Kane.
Oh, yeah, I've no doubt about that. I would agree totally with Liam in that way, you know, but because Greaves was the genius.
Yeah.
Harry Kane will never be a genius like Jimmy Greaves. But what he's done from the position he's in, the teams he's played in, you know, I think if he was playing in one of the teams that have done particularly well, he'd score even more goals. But he makes goals as well. Now, that's only my opinion on it, Eamon.
Right. Well, there's no better opinions than yours and Liam's.
Well, put it this way, Eamon. Yeah. I was well pleased with him yesterday.
Yes.
Very happy that he got the winner against Manchester City.
Yeah, well,
he was world class yesterday, Liam. He was. I put him up there with the very best.
Actually, he mishit the shot. But anyway, let's go back to that particular game, Liam. City have played five times under Pep Guardiola before yesterday at White Hart Lane. They haven't won any of the games, and they haven't scored. It's remarkable how some grounds have a hoodoo on you, but I don't know what Pep's up to. He left De Bruyne out of the team yesterday. He left Gundogan out of the team. He left Diaz, who's probably his best defender, Laporte, who's also a good defender, and he played a kid called Nico Lewis, and papers are raving about him this morning. He played during the week as well. He's just a kid, and he doesn't look particularly special. So, what do you make of City now?
Well, we've had this discussion so many times, Eamon, that you really don't know what Pep Guardiola is going to do, you know, from one week to the next. He could have a great win one week, and then the following week he'll change things completely.
Yes.
Now, I know De Bruyne is not having a great season, but he is a guy that can come up with something, you know.
Yes.
And to leave him on the bench and to see, well, in my opinion, Mahrez and Grealish playing, or maybe one of the midfield players, maybe the kid you mentioned. I watched the boy about two or three times now. He's a good player on the ball. He's good technically. But I haven't seen him hurt anybody yet.
No.
Like Kevin De Bruyne can, you know, with one pass or one cross. And the big debate yesterday after the match was, well, Haaland is not getting any service. And Graham Souness, I think, summed it up. Mahrez and Grealish, when they're out on the wing with the ball, they don't look to get any crosses in. You know, they're not looking to get past a man, get a cross in. And Haaland is not, well, on yesterday's showing, just didn't get the service. And I think that's down to Guardiola tinkering all the time.
Yeah, and John, he had a right go at his team last week. He said, we've too many flowers in the team. And that was his opening sentence. In other words, I'm not sure what the flower reference was to, but the implication of it was, too many people who are showy and don't want to go out and sweat. Now, everything Liam said, I agree with. One thing, the Haaland thing, I mean, a lot of the 31 goals that Haaland has scored in all competitions, that is, have come from De Bruyne, because he hits those beautiful balls from the inside right position to the far post or near post, and that's, you know, that's gold for a striker like Haaland. But Haaland isn't really getting a kick, John. I've watched the last two games. So have you, because I know we've been talking during them. He's not getting a kick at the ball. He's making runs, but no ball arrives.
No, I would agree with that, Eamon. I think, I don't know, I think Pep is looking for things that are not there, Eamon.
Yeah.
To be quite honest. And you talk about that kid, Rico Lewis.
Yeah.
He's playing at left back, supposedly. Well,
he was in the team sheet. I was on the team sheet.
Yeah, and he's, that's what he does. He's playing. He did it before with the other lad that's gone away that he's just left. I can't think of his name.
Cancelo.
Yeah. Well, he played, did what he wanted, or maybe what he was told to do, from the left back position.
Yeah.
To get into midfield.
Yeah.
Now, this is only a kid. This is only 18 or 19 year old kid.
Yeah.
And he's playing. He's playing as a defender. Or he starts off like as a left back, but yeah. Then becomes into midfield.
Yeah.
Now this is the type of thing that I've seen it happened once only in my life in football, where managers do get carried away with looking for positions and tactics that are just not feasible.
Yes.
You know, and I think Pep is at that stage now.
Yeah.
And especially with this kid, he's only a kid coming in, and he was in a bad position for the goal. He wasn't in the left-back position.
No, and he wasn't able to make the challenge, and he gave the ball away, and that's where it ended up at Harry Kane's feet.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't have been, to be honest, then, he shouldn't have been where he was. You know what I mean? That's the point I'm trying to make. He should have been in the left-back position where it could have been played out to him.
Yeah.
And the ball played into him was a suicide pass, we call it in football. He played it up behind him.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's dispossessed. But to play somebody in that position, Eamon, generally, you know, I just don't get it. You know, it's looking, well, I'll try this. And I think I've seen it once before in football where the managers are looking for something that's not really there.
Yeah, looking for a certain kind of perfection.
Yeah, whatever they have in their head.
Yeah.
You know, like, football is a complicated game in itself. You don't have to make it more complicated. I think that's what Pep is doing. And I think as he gets older, he's doing it more and more. In other words, this, I'll do this, I've got this in my head, I got that in my head. And I think he's at that stage. And it's there's no sense in it.
No.
He's getting to the stage where there's no sense in it. And that's the way I see him doing, especially with this kid, Rico Lewis. He's only 19, 20. And he's a midfield player, and he actually does play more in midfield than he does in left at the left back position. I find it crazy stuff.
Yeah, I do too. And all the papers in England all the English papers that I read this morning were saying he was a wonder boy and all of that. He certainly hasn't looked it in the last two games I've seen. Liam, the bench yesterday: De Bruyne, Gundogan, Diaz, Laporte, and the team didn't appear to have any shape. And Haaland got 9 touches of the ball. He didn't really have a chance. He made run after run, you know, like an old-fashioned striker. They need an early delivery. What do you make of all of this?
Well, look, he's a different striker than, let's say, Harry Kane, who can link up the play. I mean, Harry Kane would come deep and receive the ball. And as John says, Harry Kane can make goals as well, but he links things up. He's a very good passer of the ball. I don't think Haaland is that kind of player. I think he's a bit like an old-fashioned centre-forward that us guys used to play with. Knock it up, hold on to it, lay it back for the next pass, and then he's off, and he's looking to get in. Or hold it up, bring the wide players into it, and then, you know, he's waiting in the box for a good cross, which he didn't get yesterday.
No.
And Some of the games we've seen this season, it's probably about half a dozen now where he's had very few touches and very few chances. City overplay, I think. They really do. Overplay.
And the one thing a striker like him needs, Liam, I'm sure you'll agree, is they need the ball early.
Yeah, but you see, you've got to take every game on its merits, Eamon. Tottenham played very deep, a lot of people behind the ball.
Yeah.
There wasn't much space to thread passes through. But what there was Mahrez and Grealish had plenty of the ball to get crosses in. But they're coming out, they're starting again, it's going backwards, it's going sideways, it'll go out to Mahrez, it'll come back to Grealish. And Haaland is in that box making runs and things like that. Yesterday was a great example of, you know, Manchester City overplaying and not getting the ball into the box, you know, and overplaying for the goal as well, Eamon. Rodri should have rolled the ball back to the goalkeeper. It should have been cleared.
Yeah.
But that's that. They have a bit of casualness in their game, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point Guardiola was trying to make a couple of weeks ago, is they haven't got the fire in the belly this year.
Yes.
They're not firing on all cylinders. Now, whether it's because they won so much, they won the league title 5 out of the last 6, they've been there and done it, and perhaps the appetite's not there for it anymore. I think that's the point Guardiola's trying to make. Maybe he's trying to shake things up by leaving De Bruyne out and putting a kid like Lewis in. But it's backfired on him, and it's backfired on him 2 or 3 times this season.
Right, and it may cost them the league.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That brings me on, John, to a game we all watched, I'm sure, Everton-Arsenal at Goodison. First game for Sean Dyche, who did such a fabulous job at Burnley for, I think, 10 years, kept him in the Premier League, didn't get any money to spend, then they threw him out, came back with a bang on Saturday. And I must say, I thought Everton were amazing, considering what they've been through. And also remembering, John, that, you know, Frank Lampard's a good coach, Rafa Benitez was there, and Marco Silva, who's doing such a great job at Fulham at the moment. All of those guys got sacked. Sean Dyche comes in, and you watch the match. What did he do? It was brilliant. I thought they stormed all over Arsenal, and the Arsenal could not deal with it.
Yeah, well, he did that for years at Burnley, Eamon. You know, Burnley didn't have two bob to spend, and he kept him in the Premiership for 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years. And then they sort of threw him out, and they were going down anyway. You know, I thought they were very unkind to him, and I think the reputation that he had wasn't very fair on him either. He was known as a long ball man and not very attractive. But what he did at Burnley to keep them up was amazing, and he's brought that spirit to Everton. He did against Arsenal at the weekend. Now, whether they can continue, Eamon, to do that,
yes,
you know, because they're still lacking players, in my opinion. But he's getting all the manager can do is get the best out of what he has. And that was his first match, as we know. And they did extremely well. You know, they got stuck into Arsenal. They did what they should be doing with the players that he's got. So I think he's been the best man, or is the best man for the job at Everton, with the people concerned. Now, you'd have to say, I mean, going back on the history of Everton with those managers, top class managers,
yeah,
that you mentioned early on, they weren't buying the players. There's no doubt about that, I mean.
Now, no. Ancelotti left Everton.
That's right.
Years ago.
I forgot Ancelotti, one of the greatest managers in the history of the game.
Exactly. He left them.
Yeah.
I think he's won two European Cups with Real Madrid since he's gone from Everton. So he knew what was going on there. He knew there was no future for him. Whoever was doing it, the director of football or whatever they call them now, and the managers were just left out of the buying and the selling of the players, which is a total disaster. And it ended up that way. For all the managers that went, Frank Lampard, and they had a very, very difficult job to do. But Dyche has done, I think, a similar job at Burnley for years and years that needs to be done at Everton at the moment. And I think he's the best man for the job that's been available, Eamon.
Right. And Liam, obviously, Tarkowski, incidentally, scored a goal who they just bought from Burnley. So he would have known Sean Dyche and his style. He scored the winning goal. Liam, a big wake-up call for Arsenal because they have gone away from home this year and they've played their own game. They've been brave. What did you make of what you saw on Saturday?
I thought they got bullied out of it, Eamon.
Yes.
Everton didn't give any of them any player time on the ball, whether it was players at the back or the players in midfield. They really pressurized them, rushed them into things, and Arsenal didn't cope with it.
Yeah.
I think the first goal was very, very important. Everton had two or three good chances in the first half as well. You know, Calvert-Lewin had a couple of really good chances. But Arsenal, Nketiah had one that he blasted over the bar, and there was one kicked off the line, I think, by Connor Cody from Saka. So the goal made a huge difference. It gave Everton the strength to hang on in there, and they really hung on in there well. I thought Arsenal lost the head a bit.
Yeah.
I think Arteta mentioned it after a game. They were giving away silly fouls themselves. Everton were happy with that, breaking the game up, you know, letting the clock run down. Everton well deserved. Arsenal didn't cope with the pressure that they were put under. And, you know, we've touched upon this in recent weeks, talking about Arsenal's title aspirations. They're going to have to be able to handle games like this, Eamon.
Yes.
And they didn't do it at the weekend. And I think, you know, they're a young team.
Yes.
A couple of things that you'd say, what was going on there? The Tarkowski was being marked by Odegaard. Now, Odegaard is only about 5'8", 5'9".
I'm a midfielder.
And he's marking the centre-back. Things like that weren't right. And you're right, it's a wake-up call. And they have to get things sorted out and get going again, because Tottenham did them a big favour by beating Manchester City. So if they can get back on track again next week, it could be a blip that you might just forget about. But it was a bit worrying to watch.
Yeah, and John, Arsenal have to play City twice in the league. The first one, I think, is next Wednesday week. Those games would be hugely important. How concerned would you be if you're an Arsenal fan that this was just a one-off and they'll learn from it, John? Or is it we just have to wait and see, don't we? Because we have talked about the pressure of being contenders, of winning the Premier League and having a lead as well, a substantial lead, 5 points plus a game in hand.
Yeah, well, every game is different, Damon. And I think Everton, in the way they approached the match at the weekend, was the worst thing that could happen to Arsenal.
Yes.
You know, if Arsenal are playing Manchester United, they're playing in a certain way. And as Liam mentioned there, like they didn't cope well with the pressure and the physical aspect of the game with Everton. Now, they won't get that every week, Eamon.
No.
You know, Everton are desperate, and that's what Dyche does anyway, and it worked for them. And Arsenal didn't respond very well to that. But they're not going to get that every week.
Yes.
You know, I think I'd back Arsenal more against Manchester United in a match.
Yes.
Than Everton at Everton, the way things are at the moment. So I think they'll pick up from that. I think they'll learn from it. And go on and doing what they've done well all season. I don't think they'll slip up. You know, I don't think they'll pack it in any way. I think they'll get back to their best, and their best is playing against the teams that they're used to playing against and being allowed to play more than Everton allowed them play.
Yeah, now, Liam, Manchester United are third in the table. Eric Ten Hag appears to be doing a good job. There's a discipline in the side. There's a structure that you can recognise. They only beat Crystal Palace 2-1. They didn't murder them or anything like that, but Palace under Vieira haven't been that easy to beat. And then, unfortunately, Casemiro got sent off. I looked at this, and I think, Liam, he was unlucky to be sent off, because when you slow-mo it, it looks as if he's trying to choke the Crystal Palace player, the midfield player, but actually, in real time, his hands were on his neck only for 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, it was a free-for-all, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On the sideline, Eamon, yeah, and... Well, you can't just do that anymore, you know.
Yeah.
You might have been able to grab somebody around the throat in our day, but when you're on television and things like that, you can't. And I think he had two hands around his throat.
He did,
Will Hughes was the Crystal Palace player. He came on as sub. But Manchester United are doing well, Eamon. They're picking the same team, you know, week in, week out. He's got consistency in the selection. Rashford is scoring a lot of goals. I haven't seen Weghorst do much, but he likes him up there. He's a bit of a target man for the team, and he's come in since they got him in. He's been playing week in, week out. Casemiro is an important player. They've got consistency in the team. Wan-Bissaka, they've got him going again, you know, so I think Ten Hag has done a very, very good job, but they're not the Manchester, an expansive Manchester United. They're not a great team to watch.
Yeah.
But you know, when you come in and you have a difficult job like Ten Hag has, the first thing is to get results and show that you know what you're doing as a coach, and I think he's demonstrating that. You know, they're third in the league. They're looking good for the Champions League this season. They're in the final of the League Cup.
Yep.
So I think they've, he's done a really, really good job.
Yeah, John, that was the 13th straight victory at Old Trafford, which in itself is a feat. Marcus Rashford has scored an awful lot of goals, 9, I think, in his last 10 games. And he has always had the potential. He's got the pace and the game to be. I'm not sure what his best position is. That's always been the question with Marcus Rashford, I think, John. But Ten Hag is doing a good job. Would you agree with Liam? And I'd agree with Liam.
Yeah. Eventually, Eamon.
Yes. Well,
first of all, on the sending off, I can't see why you can't see your man not being sent off, Eamon. I know
it happened really quick, and I didn't think he was... I didn't...
He's fucking choking him.
Yeah, but in slow-mo, it's like...
slow-mo looked even worse.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Anyway, that's by the way. I mean, there's more important things in talking about Dave Van. I think Ten Hag has got it right eventually.
Yes,
Damon.
Yes.
I think when he first came in, I think when Ronaldo wanted the transfer,
yeah,
I think he should have acted then and said, right, out you go.
Yes.
It's no coincidence that since Ronaldo's gone, that they've actually picked up as a team.
Yes.
You can't run a club in the way Ronaldo was behaving, Eamon.
Yeah.
He wouldn't go on the sub. He walked out of the dressing room before. He wanted a transfer immediately.
Yeah.
Get out.
Right.
And get the team gone. And since then, it's no coincidence, I don't think, that Ronaldo's gone. He's picked up. He's got a team. All the players are in it together now, rather than having somebody like Ronaldo acting the clown and doing what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So he's got it right eventually. I think he should have kicked him out straight away. And I think since then, he's done a really good job.
Yeah, I just say to both of you, Liam, first, the one thing that they're a million miles away, as you said, from the expansive Manchester United, which is traditionally what we love them for and what they're renowned for. He's going to need money to buy those players if he can. And it's highly unlikely, this is a caution for Manchester United fans, He's highly unlikely to get the money from the Glazers, Liam, because they're looking to sell. They're looking for somewhere between 6 and 8 billion for the club. So if they're looking to sell, they're highly unlikely to be investing in players.
And they gave him a right few bobs since he's been there, Eamon, you know.
Yeah.
And he's bought Martinez for
Argentinian,
a lot of money,
yes.
From Ajax. Anthony, yeah. Anthony's another one. Casemiro, you know.
Yeah, 60 million Casemiro.
I think they backed him. I think the Glazers want to sell, but they also want to sell a Champions League team, you know.
Right.
So,
yes.
You have to get the basics right. John's absolutely right about the Ronaldo scene. It couldn't have been easy for Ten Hag when Ronaldo was there.
Yeah.
You know, the likes of Roy Keane saying Ten Hag was wrong to leave him out. You know, he was a proven goal scorer, wrong to leave him out. But Ronaldo is only for Ronaldo, particularly in the last few years. You know, it's all about him. We saw that with Portugal in the World Cup as well.
Yes.
So he had to sort a good few problems out, and I think he's done that. I think he's got the basics right. Now, we'll have to wait and see whether, you know, he can improve the forward line. I do think they need a centre forward. I don't think Weghorst is the answer, is he?
You know, no, he's not. No.
But he's got them playing as a team. They're winning. They're confident. And I think they're definitely finishing the top four. So he's done a good job.
That will be a result if they get Champions League next season. I just want to mention to John and to you, Liam, that today, February the 6th, is the 65th anniversary of the Munich air crash. John, you were at the club at the time. It was 8 players died. Samat Busby nearly died. And it was one of those moments that, like the assassination of John F. Kennedy, where people remember where they were when they heard the news. I was in a hairdresser's in Drumcondra after school. John, you were at the club. It was a terrible tragedy, and it took a long time for everyone to get over it. And it's just worth remembering briefly that great team and the promise that they had.
Oh, it was terrible, Eamon. I mean, this was a team, I think the average age was 22, and I think they won the league or two leagues before the crash. You know, they hadn't even reached their peak as a football team, Eamon. And it was a very sad, very sad situation. As you said, 8 players, 8 people killed in the crash, because they were trying to hurry home.
Yes.
And, you know, at that time, the FA didn't want English teams to be playing.
No, and they were afraid of missing their Saturday. They were supposed to play Wolverhampton Wanderers, and they had Busby felt they had to get home for that, and that's always been
a mystery. I think it was more important than that, Eamon. I think it was the FA brought in a rule that you've got to be home 24 hours before the match on the Saturday,
right,
or else you were going to be fined.
Yep. Yep.
Now, this is only my take on it, you know. What was the big hurry getting home? But anyway, I mean, the actual disaster was dreadful for the club, as we know. You know, the most young players, great players, that were killed in the Munich.
Liam Whelan from Dublin,
who
was a great player and a leading scorer at the club. He also died. I don't want to labour the point. We've talked about this privately before. You were in Old Trafford when the news first broke.
Yeah, we were down back training for the youth team. At that time, and it was in the afternoon. We're back in it, and the news came through then.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had to go back to your digs. It was a very, very bad time for everybody. I mean, there was no I spent most of my time going to the funerals in around the Manchester area.
Yes.
But there was and we were told not to come to the ground.
Yes.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah.
To be honest, you didn't know where to put yourself.
Yeah, no.
You know, and I wasn't close to the player. I knew Liam Whelan very well. He was very good to me. He looked after me in a certain way when I was at Old Trafford. But it was very, very sad and difficult time for the club. There's no doubt about that.
Liam, are you too young to remember the Munich air crash?
Well, I was the youngest of quite a big family. You know,
yes,
my family.
I do, of course.
John,
yes,
does as well.
Yeah.
So my brothers were probably just gone to England then. You know, Ray certainly,
yes,
had gone to play for Millwall in England.
Pat,
but
yeah,
our family was a football family, and it was just a terrible, terrible tragedy, and made all the worse by, as you mentioned, that Liam Whelan was one of the people who died. You know, so I think Manchester United were a popular team by that stage in Ireland. But when this happened, everybody was Manchester United, and I was a Manchester United fan growing up. And I think the Munich air crash had a lot to do with that. I was 2 years of age when it happened.
Yes, I was. I was a bit old. I was, I think.
You were a lot older than that.
I was 12. I was in the barbers, and the radio was on, and it didn't say anything tragic. It said there had been a problem with a plane carrying the Manchester United team back from their game, and it was at Munich Airport. But the bad news came, and it was a terrible day that for Manchester United, for Manchester as a city, which is a wonderful city, and there was a very special Irish connection there, particularly with Liam Whelan, and on the day that's in it, it's good to pause and think about it. We're grateful to John Giles, to Liam Brady, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.